In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It is difficult to talk about sin, primarily because if we truly understand the nature of sin and what it is that it does to us, it would overwhelm us to truly comprehend the damage we do to our relationship with God, and by extension, our relationship one with another. Sin, serious sin, not so serious sin, all the sins in between, sins that cry to God, to heaven for vindication, sins that remain hidden and unknown, sins that maybe not even rise to an occasion, and sins that clamor indeed for retribution because of them. However we might categorize our sinfulness, there can be no truck with sin in our lives whatsoever, precisely because the wage of sin is death and destruction, pure and simple. It may not be immediate, may not come upon us at that precise moment, but the wage of sin is death and destruction. It whittles away at our resolve to live rightly in the sight of the Lord, and the more we find ourselves steeped in sin, the easier it becomes for us to justify our sins. This is the world in which we now live. We know this because of all the things that are swirling around us. Evil has peeled back its face and no longer presents itself as something beautiful and beguiling, because now everyone has accepted evil as good and good as evil. We know right from wrong when it is writ so large and clear. It's more difficult when we turn that light of Christ to our own lives, that it becomes difficult for us to truly look in a very clear way at the sins for which we are guilty, and the manner in which we then need to reform our lives and root out that sinfulness. Because as it has been, so it is even now, that the task for all of us is not to change the world. The task is to change ourselves. And when we do change ourselves, and we do live accordingly, when we root out sin in our lives, it is in that way that the world is indeed transformed. Yes, we work through political systems in order that justice can be realized. Yes, we elect officials, hopefully, who reflect the way we want to live our lives. We are a nation steeped in freedom, and we want to be governed in such a way that allows that freedom to truly flourish. But remember, freedom is not license to do as you please, as you want, when you want, how you want, with whomever you want. Freedom is to do as you ought to do, as you have been ordained and configured by God to do. This is why you are free. And so the freedom that has been bestowed upon us, the freedoms that so many people take for granted, are not giving us permission to do whatever it is that we want or to recraft the world. Our freedom is to put aside our sinfulness and then to live rightly in the sight of God. That is the beautiful relationship between the old law and the new law. When the Lord comes to us and says to us that he came not to abolish the old law, that is precisely true. The fulfillment of the old law is in living out this life of love and virtue, not just avoiding sin. That was the old law, and that was crippling. Because if we only live our lives avoiding evil and never embracing good, living out the virtues that God wants us to live out, then we're not living out fully and realizing fully that which was bestowed upon us when the Lord suffered and died on the cross. I came that you may have life and have life abundantly, is what the Lord says to us. Not just have life, but have life abundantly. And the abundance and the fullness of life is lived in the life of virtue. The life of virtue cannot be truly lived unless we are also in a constant posture of rooting out sinfulness in our lives. What that means for us, brothers and sisters, is we have to have constant contact and recourse to the sacrament of penance and reconciliation. If you go every 6 months, if you go only every year, you go only when you're cognizant of mortal sin, then you are not taking advantage of the very graces God wishes to bestow upon you that will allow you to assist him and be a part of your own salvation. How often should I come to confession? If Mother Teresa, who is a saint, and John Paul II, who also is a saint, saw it necessary to go to confession on a daily basis, how then can we not take advantage of the sacrament of penance and reconciliation more frequently? It has been my desire since I've become rector that we would have confession every day. It is something that I pray for and something that I'm working toward. Until that day comes, there are at least 3 times in the week where the sacrament is heard. Is it convenient for you? No, maybe not. Does it come at a time when life is easy and simple for you? Maybe it does not. For that, I do sincerely apologize. My recommendation then is don't sin. But since none of us are free of sin, we need to then take advantage of the sacrament when it is presented to us. And if you're not able to make it here, any church, any priest will do. You don't have to like him or know him or agree with him or be friends with him in order for him to bestow grace upon you and absolve you of your sins. If I seem particularly earnest about this topic, it is precisely because we all want the world to be transformed. We want the world to be a better place. We pray earnestly for the health and well-being and the fruitfulness of our church, which is under attack from without and especially under attack from within. But the best way for us to resist the world and Satan, who truly has seeped into the very fabric and the foundation, it seems, of Holy Mother Church herself, the best way for us to resist is to strive for holiness every single day of our lives. This is not an easy task. It has never been an easy task. This is why God pours out grace upon grace, because he knows that you cannot do it by yourself. You certainly can't do it through your own devices, your native talents, your own industry and energy. You need God to live God's life, and God has given himself to you fully and completely. You will come forward to receive him. You will kneel before him, and you will say amen to the living God who you take inside of yourself. Have you made yourself a worthy tabernacle for the gift that you are about to receive? And then once received that gift, you return and give proper thanks for the gift that has been bestowed upon you. And then do you pledge to live day to day, week to week, as you come to receive the Lord again and again, to live in such a way that your lives reflect the God who is inside of you? These are not rhetorical questions. Rather, you must be asking them and answering them on a daily basis. I become more and more convinced, and a mantra that we oftentimes use jokingly, but it is a good mantra nonetheless, the best we can do is to stay in our own lanes. It's good advice. Take care of your own house, your own self, your own soul. This is not a selfishness, because the more you do that, the more I do that, the more I assist you in doing that, the more successful all of us will be collectively. And it is in that way that God will use us as a hammer to beat back Satan, who does indeed prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. These are real and true things. And God gives us grace, which is also real and true, to do combat and to be successful. But as our gospel warns, and as our epistle warns, we can have no relationship with sin of any stripe, of any kind. And if we find ourselves caught in sin, certainly we work to live out a life of virtue. And we have recourse to the throne of mercy through the sacrament itself, which restores us to right relationship. And through the grace given in the sacrament, not only remits our sins, but gives us even more grace to avoid not only those sins, but sins going forward in the future. This is how gracious God is to us, how much God loves us, how much God wants the best for us, that he has literally given of his very self, in order that all of this that he himself created and fashioned might work for our favor, for our good, both in this life and in the life to come. Your part is small, but serious and necessary. Go to confession. Go often, if need be. Go daily, if you find yourself struggling with sin. Don't worry about shame or embarrassment. I cannot see you. I do not know your voices, and I forget as soon as you tell me. Every priest will tell you this. It is a grace given actually in the sacrament. We didn't think about it. We didn't ask for it, but it's a grace given. So in order that we can actually take these sins and be the instrument of grace God has made us to be. Allow the Lord to do what needs to be done in you. And in this way, brothers and sisters, as we take care of ourselves, we likewise beautifully take care of one another. We know that these are perilous times in which we live. And maybe even day to day, not knowing or being sure as to what our place in the world may be or how things might be snatched away from us yet again. But that then allows us to be crippled by fear. Don't be crippled by fear or doubt or worry or anxiety. God will provide. As he always has, so he will. All we need to be concerned about is today and the things of today and the grace that is given us to live rightly with the Lord. As our gospel beautifully concludes, this is indeed a house of prayer. And in this place of prayer, the greatest prayer God has given to us, the gift of himself, is offered day after day after day. Enter into this prayer by your presence. Enter into this prayer by your communion in heart and soul. Enter into this prayer and the fruitfulness of it by the manner in which you live your lives. Find your peace and your strength in Christ and in him alone. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.